As we remain standing, let us pray. Beloved Lord God, may we explore together the territory of knowledge. May we learn together the mysteries of truth. May we share together the experience of beauty. May we release in each other the spark of creativity. May we always remember that you are the author of all knowledge, yourself goodness, truth, beauty, light, and you delight to share all experiences with us, creator, redeemer, and sanctifier of the people of God. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I just called to say I love you. I just called to say how much I care, I do. I just called to say I love you, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. One more verse. No. Done that before. Anyhow, thank you. Seriously. And that came to me at 2 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday, and I knew what I was going to preach on. So here's. You're very welcome. Oh, the musicians are always the last to know, you know? So that last line, in fact, is just an ordinary day. That's what I was trying to get to. Simon Peter was having an ordinary day, and yet his life was about to unravel, interrupted by a charismatic carpenter who called him to drop everything and follow him. Now, Luke's story of Jesus calling the first disciples is unique among the Gospels. Mark and Matthew speak of Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee and abruptly calling Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John to him. But only Luke tells the story of a miraculous catch of fish preceding the call. This isn't Simon Peter's first encounter with Jesus. If we go back one chapter in chapter 4, and you remember that he was called to his house, Jesus was called to Simon Peter's house. Why? Anybody remember? Mother-in-law. Remember, his mother-in-law was sick, and he healed his mother-in-law. That's a good thing. Mothers-in-law get healed. And so that may explain why Peter is so amenable to Jesus using his boat as a floating pulpit. We don't know what he said, but Simon Peter had been fishing all night with no success, and he had to clean the nets. He probably was exhausted, not probably, he was exhausted, and he just wanted to go home and get some sleep. So it must have seemed a bit of an imposition when Jesus got into Simon Peter's boat, and asked him to put out a little way out from the shore. Nevertheless, Simon Peter did what Jesus asked. Luke does not tell us what Jesus taught the crowds that morning from the floating pulpit. That was not the focus of Luke's narrative. It's what happens next that is significant. We know the story. Jesus tells Peter to set out into the deep water and let the nets down for a catch. Peter is the professional fisherman, so he probably thought, this is a futile exercise, but I'm going to do it. And we can almost hear the exasperation in his voice when he responds, Master, we've like worked all night, and we haven't caught a thing. But then he says, yet if you say so, if you ask, I'll go for it. Seeing, we all know what happens next. Nets so full of fish, they began to break. Boats so full of fish, they began to sink. Peter, seeing what is happening. Peter, not unlike Isaiah, which just came to me this morning when you were reading that, Barb. He gets down on his knees and he says, oh, I'm a mess. I am not worthy of anything. What did Isaiah say? Same thing, I'm a man of unclean lips. Kind of we see these parallels here. And in the midst of his ordinary daily grind, and in fact, after a particularly lousy night of work, he's encountered by one who changes everything. Amazed by the power of God displayed in the abundant catch of fish, Peter is immediately aware of his own unworthiness. He sees the overwhelming difference between God's power, evident in Jesus, and his own mortal compromised life. And what is Jesus? What does he say? He said, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. This is interesting. The Greek word for catching used here is zogran, Z-O-G-O-N. And that it's rare in the New Testament, but it means to catch alive. To catch alive. Of course, fishing with nets was a matter of catching fish alive, but those live fish would what? Soon be dead. Here Jesus calls Simon and his partners for a new vocation of catching people so they might live and have abundant life and be part of God's kingdom here on earth. See, God calls ordinary people, you and I, ordinary people, to discipleship and mission. Not all of us will do great things. But we can do small things with what? With love. We can live extraordinary lives in ordinary ways. I'm thinking of those two kids here today. Ordinary lives, but what they did actually was extraordinary, and I don't even know that they know how extraordinary it was. We can live extraordinary lives in ordinary ways. After all, there was nothing in the slightest bit extraordinary about Simon Peter and his fishing partners. They were simple fishermen. And like us, simply going and doing what they did every day, minding their own business, cleaning their nets after a long, particularly discouraging night of work. And then Jesus comes along, enters into their utterly normal, mundane lives, and changes everything. And that's the thing about Jesus. He turns up and surprises us in our ordinary lives. Not always in big moments, but often in little and unpredictable ways. Jesus calls Simon and his partners as they are, just as they are. Simon Peter is aware of his own unworthiness, but Jesus is not put off by this in the slightest. Jesus doesn't get asked Simon to get his act together, his resume prepared, and then come back for an interview. Rather, Jesus encounters him as he is, tells him not to be afraid, and calls him to a new mission of catching people. Throughout Scripture, we see that human failure and inadequacy are no obstacles to God's call. Thank goodness, eh? Whew, we'd be in big trouble. God calls imperfect people. Who would be imperfect here? Calls imperfect people, you and I, to do God's work. God doesn't wait for us to shape up, but calls us as we are and then works on shaping us, on transforming us from the inside out. And as Saint Avila prays, to be the hands and feet of Christ here in this place, in the community, in the world, at the grocery store. Simon Peter's resistance to Jesus stems not only from his sense of unworthiness, because he initially protests Jesus' instructions to go out into the deep water, but because he's convinced that the fish aren't biting. They've worked all night and caught nothing. We can hardly blame him for his skepticism. How often have we resisted Jesus' claim on our lives because what he is calling us to do seems too crazy, too impractical. How often do we avoid putting out into deep water of following and bearing witness to Jesus because we are convinced that we will not see any results? You would be amazed. Remember, as a Christian, you will be the only Bible a person may ever see. What might it mean for us to go deep sea fishing with Jesus? To trust and follow him outside of our comfort zones, to let go of our certainties, to have our lives radically reoriented. For most of us, this will not mean leaving our current professions behind, although we can't rule out that possibility. We are all called by virtue of our baptism to participate in God's mission to the world. We are called daily to reorient our priorities, to align with God's priorities, to use the gifts that God has given us in service to others. Because we are what? Blessed to be a blessing. Jesus' mission does not wait until we think we are ready. It doesn't work that way. The need of the good news of God's love in this broken world is so needed. It is so needed. We are called right now, even in spite of our frailty, our failures, and our doubts, even in the midst of our ordinary, busy, complicated lives. Jesus' word to Simon Peter is also a word to us. Do not be afraid. Don't be. I struggled with singing this morning because I sound like a country and western star and I can't hold a tune. But I'm not going to be afraid. I can't be afraid because I adore you all and because nobody would say horrible things to me. Well, they might take me aside, the wardens, and say, Vaughn, don't be singing like that again. But that's not what's going to happen. Think, this is Jesus' mission, and we trust that he will keep working with us and through us, catching others as he has caught us in the deep, wide net of God's mercy and love. And we trust finally that the catch is in God's hands. And God's desire is for the nets to be bursting and the boats full. All of us sail deep waters. We set forth over the waters of baptism. And those waters bear us as they might where wind and spirit direct, often to places we don't wish to go. And we would not go, but for two words. Fear not. Faith is risky. Faith leads us to see something that others cannot see. We do often place our trust in business, career, money, or other things. The people of faith look to the security that God brings. Faith is an adventure. We have to leave sometimes our comfort and predictability of home in order to discover the destiny that God has for us. James, Peter, and John left their successful fishing business to follow a rabbi. And Peter and his companions wanted Jesus, the mercy of Christ, so much that they left everything for it. And Simon Peter became one of the greatest fishers of people the world has ever seen. And it's all because of the time when Jesus said, come, follow me. And Peter responded, yes, I will. This story is about working together with one voice, declaring, we will. Jesus is working with us. We don't make it on our own. We follow and we do it together. You can't beat Christians on your own. There's no such thing as a single Christian. We can't do it alone. Faith challenges the loneliness of getting it alone and the feeling of doom. Jesus is always near, promising that we are never alone and not to be afraid. Do not fear in spite of what is happening around us. And the psalmist reminds us, do not fear, God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. I love this, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, we shall not fear, for the Lord is near. Let us pray. Loving God, forgive us, Lord, when we want proof of our faith and demand absolute certainty before we commit ourselves to you. Strengthen our trust in you so that we who have not seen you may still believe, and in believing, may we be blessed with the fullness of joy now and always. Amen.